Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
All right, I want also to talk to Apostle Doc Khoza. Now, this man, if I can tell you a story, it will be a long story, man. And I saw him at my lowest point. After, some bad things had happened to me, he chose to wait for me. And there were helicopters, people, dogs and everything. And he chose to wait for me, even though he had not seen me ever before. And today he's back. He's commenting on this. Apostle Doc, thank you so much. Welcome.
Good evening indeed to you and the listeners. There is definitely something beautiful about biblical prosperity that comes as a result of God's favor upon one's labor. Whatever he does prospers, says the scriptures in Psalm 1. It's not an either or. There must be labor made fruitful by God's favor. Throughout scripture, God manifests and demonstrates his favor upon the labors of his people. Abraham's labors were met by God's favor. He became wealthy. His son Isaac's labor brought 100 times more in 1 year. Jacob's labor, even in Laban's camp, that man who was ruthless and unscrupulous, still Jacob's labor, because God's favor was upon him, he prospered even in that situation. God is a God of prosperity. The first words given to the human soul, the first commandment that was given to Adam was, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, dominate it. Those are the first words that the human being heard after creation. And that's been like that. A human being must work, they must see progress, they must succeed. When that doesn't happen, they get frustrated. So one is either fruitful or frustrated. Now we know that God hates laziness, and Satan hates every good thing that God loves. He's the opponent and opposite of every good thing that God stands for. And so Satan is out against the prosperity of God's people and to distort the mission of prosperity so that people may begin to move away from it. He will use deception and his agents. This kind of get-rich-quick scheme without labor, without exerting of oneself, where people just want to have things and just spend in their lustful pleasures, has crept into even the church of God, where there's a lot of emphasis on prosperity, but it has got nothing to do with one exerting themselves, given the opportunity, the talents, and the giftings, the abilities that they have. We ought to be a people, as people of God, who work hard, because the book of Proverbs says, all hard work pays. I thought it was very interesting when I saw that. It's all hard work. That's the word of the Lord. All hard work pays. We know Satan will try and negate that and abuse human labor so that people get angry with not only work, but angry at God. But God's word stands forever. He wants people to work. Our fulfillment, our actualization, our sense of destiny is connected to what we do. We must work, and in what we do, we must see progress. And so Satan and his crew will always try and distort that. There are people today who use godliness as a means of financial gain, says Paul. And that should not be part of us. We ought to be a people who are determined, I will serve your God. I will give my best. Whenever the opportunity opens up, I will work, I will serve. In fact, you start with whatever you do, when you do it well, it will always open up greater doors. People who work hard are usually the ones who are given more to do. It's just that way. And when you do what you do and do it well, you'll find that opening of doors is so easy. People would headhunt the guy who does his part well. So biblical prosperity is sustained also by purity. Job speaks about sexual sin that would have uprooted all his prosperity. Godly prosperity is that which is done with righteousness, with wisdom, and staying in purity. That's the way we should live. That's the way we should honor God, by being involved in gainful, fruitful, productive lifestyles. That to God be the glory. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Khoza. I really appreciate, man. Thank you so much. All right. Send us a WhatsApp, 082-657-2729. And the prosperity theology, what it is. I want to hear from you.
Download our app now and listen to us wherever you go. Available in the App Store and Play Store.
All right. Also have Pastor Musetle, the Whites, because they share for such a short time. And of course, I appreciate that so that our guests can have enough time there. Pastor Musetle also, I asked him, and also Dr. TC, I asked him to really help us on this. And I trust, you know, that all is or has gone well. And of course, this gospel of prosperity, what it is even all about, the things that it is on, we're looking into that. And also the notion of saying today as believers, do we really understand this? Muruti Musetle, greetings. Don't know if he's still there. Greetings to you.
Hey, greetings. Greetings, Pastor Ray. Yeah, Jadu Medisaka, Libizole, Letela, Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Thank you.
Indeed, the topic that you are discussing is rather very imperative that we dissect it properly. So when it comes to the message of salvation or the gospel, we should never reduce it to one aspect of life, which is about prosperity. In actual fact, there shouldn't be anything that we call prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel in itself covers all areas of life, from good health to long life to protection to provision, even deliverance, as well as security and prosperity. So there are many other things as well that we can really find within what the gospel provides. So indeed, as children of God, as believers, we should never be focusing on only on just prosperity. It is underselling what God provides. It is underselling what our belief core is, or the core values of our belief. And I believe it is time that as Christians or as children of Yahushua, we should focus on the major things and not the minor things. So I'm saying the gospel of prosperity is but one aspect of our belief. And therefore we are called to a higher calling, that we should believe God, our Father, as who he is, and not just something he can do, because we know that he can do everything. The Bible says that we must seek he first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added. There's so much more that we can discuss on this topic, but I believe you, as you touch on it, it will really bring illumination that our eyes will begin to open. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate. May the Father do you good, graciously, so abundantly.
Funda ukuningi, uphile saka, futhi ukhule othandweni. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Live life with us. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Our guests have shown, our special guests have shown the perspective that people are having. And in what you can call a review, it would be an either or, you know. But the notion of the prosperity theology is also created upon a myth of self-accumulation and all those things. Now, Muruti Muraga, let me bring this to you. When we look into it again, I looked at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10, says, "Make the heart of these people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." Now, these gospels of self-accumulation have shut us down to hearing the Father so much in that we basically hear ourselves. "I'm the winner. I can do it. I am able. I'm an achiever. We have won. I've come this far. It's me. It's I. It's myself." And these things have made us dull to even giving the Father all the glory. It's our ministries. It's our prayers. It's our anointing. Yeah, it's our laying of hands. It's our teachings. Muruti Braka?
Yeah, thank you, my brother. When Yeshua Mashiach came to where he was praying, being with his disciples, the prayer which is recorded in John chapter 17, that a prayer of somebody who has prospered. Because he was able to give thanks to the Father and give a report on his mission, how he has accomplished it, and commend those that he was leading into the Father's care and will. And our biggest problem in the churches is that we still operate as if the world and this age that we find ourselves in, this eon we find ourselves in, it's okay. They are okay. They are fine. Whereas there is a judgment which has passed on this age and on this world. And the whole mission of the Messiah, the anointed one, was to come and get the people that the Father wants to save out of this world and out of this eon into what the Father has prepared. That is prosperity. You see, if we still see this looming picture in front of us that when we have built a certain type of building, that success, it means we still don't understand. If we have influenced three, four, or five people into having put their trust on the Lord Yeshua and living a life that is obedient to the commandments of the Father. If we have managed that, that's prosperity. Because it means now the will of the Father and His plan is continuing the way it should continue. That is why I was listening to the other guests. That is why the last guest spoke about this verse, which we quote many times. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these other things will be added. What are they being added for? To help propagate the gospel.
Mm.
That's the success. That's the prosperity. They are not being added so that I can sit back and live in comfort. I believe if we read the book of Acts over and over and over, our perspective will change. Because when we look at those people, they had come to understand that they are pilgrims and strangers in this world. So anything of this world, they utilize it for only one reason: to propagate the gospel. That is why those who had lands, had possessions, they sold them. For what? So that they can all share in it. Why share? Share so that they can continue growing in the Lord. Because you see, the blessing is another area which we have completely misunderstood. The blessing is, one, be fruitful or grow. Number two, multiply. That is making disciples. Number three, influence the sphere where you are. Number four, dominate it in the spiritual. Top. And domination doesn't necessarily mean you are this bragging. It means when you arrive, you take authority in the spiritual realm. The same way Yeshua Mashiach did. And it can only happen when you have progressed through this, and that's prosperity. You may not even have vehicles. You may not even have, the shoes that are in fashion of name. But you will be dressed decently. So my conclusion there is this, my brother. We need to have a change of thinking. What is that? Repent. We really need to come back to the will of God and His plan and say, what do you want us to do? How should we do it? Once we are yielded to Him, we are prospering. We are prospering. This prosperity of belts, of lands, of houses is a distraction. It's so that we don't realize we have been sent into the world for one major thing: to bring in the harvest. And then, eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things which He has prepared. And the devil mocks that, because he will always say, those who say, no, we are waiting for what God has for us, that's like a pie in the sky, they call it. He mocks it so that we should not be single-minded about bringing the gospel truth with our testimony of conduct to those that are still in the dark.
Yeah. I hear you quite well. Thank you so much, Mruti. I appreciate. Send us your WhatsApps, 0826572729. Let's hear what you say on this issue. Talk to us directly there. And we are keen to hear what you make of everything that has been said.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Do you read the word for today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. Your daily companion through thick and thin. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Greetings, Muruti, and your listeners, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for a wonderful topic, a very sensitive topic to a lot of people who have turned the gospel to benefit their own pockets and not the kingdom of God. So I love what the man of God has just said, that seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else shall follow us. You know, God is a God who's consistent. The Bible says the same yesterday, today, and forever. How about Joshua 1 from verse 6? Joshua, meditate on this word day and night, and it will give you good success. So God is telling us there that without obeying the principle first, there is no way that you can prosper. But also the Bible is warning us there, Jorge, there is a bad prosperity, of which many Christians are after that bad prosperity. What do I mean that many Christians are after that bad prosperity? Because the minute you preach salvation, the minute you preach holiness, purity, they leave church and they go to another church. They will always look for a church that say, receive millions, receive your car, receive your houses. And mind you, we are not against all those things. We are not against all those things. But first thing first, seek first the kingdom of God. Meditate on the word of God day and night, and it will give us a good success. And Satan is able to see, that's why you will always deceive them. You will find people taking out their pension fund because the so-called man of God said we must bring everything. Our God is a responsible God. God will never take it. I mean, Paul says it, even when we give, we must give with wisdom. We must not give because we are being forced. But nowadays, you see that people are being hypnotized, because of also what is in their heart. That's why Satan is able to derail them so much. I wish and I pray that may God wake us up so that we realize that God is against poverty. God hates poverty. But as much as God hates poverty, He wants us to have good success. And that good success or that good prosperity will come when we abide, when we obey, and when we walk according to His word and His principle. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate. May the Father do you good. And let's hear Pastor Sam just after this little jiffy.
Live life with us. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Right, when you look into Jeremiah 5:7, how shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by those that are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Hey, but now, after I had given them prosperity, they took it and made it their own. And they started to pay for things that do not serve the Father. Harlotry. We see these are the signs of prosperity theology. It brings a lot of unfaithfulness to the Father, and in every aspect. What say you, sir?
Yeah, exactly that. Because what happened is when one claimed to have everything by himself, or one claimed to have that he has worked hard and he has produced results, and he does not have any account to give to anybody, people end up by claiming and working that way, by stating that whatever I have, it is by my strength, by my effort, I've done it by myself. We hear this thing most in our churches, you know. This today I was thinking about something, that how some pastors, they end up by making it big in a way of manipulating and making people feel, as I said from the beginning, making people feel small and feel guilty. And, you know, pastors, most of the time what they do, or leaders, most of our leaders, what they do, they capitalize on what you call on the number. They use the number. The number it's really work for them. But while on the other end, we do not capitalize on number because we don't have a number to work on. But they have a number. And now, what do I mean by the number? You know, when you have a church of 10,000 people, it's just a matter of coming up with a story. You know, I know the way they come. They always come with the Lord has spoken to me that each one can just, I mean, the Lord has spoken to me for you to give only $1 or one rent, for instance. Mm. Each one must give one rent. And he knows that in the church he's got 10,000 people. By giving one rent, he knows that you're going to get 10,000 rent at the end of the day. Then he come up with something. You know, you need to be violent. Your violence has to be in terms of, I mean, give more. As you mentioned in the scripture, I mean, of Luke, give more. And then those who are violent, they will get more. You know, you need to be violent. Whenever God speaks, you need to be violent. And some, he's so sure that some will give 100 rent, some will give 200, some will give 50. Mm. And at the end of the day, he's using the number for its own advantage. But as far as we are concerned, when I give one rent, what do I lose? What is one rent? I don't see it as a problem. But for him, he has made it. When you see him after a few months, he's driving a big car, and he comes and tells you that I get this money by myself. What did you buy for me? What did you do for me? And you look at yourself. How much did you give on one rent? And you did not do anything. Then, you see, this is a way of playing with people's mind. Because, say, okay, if you can buy that, but what did I give? I did not give much. One rent. What is one rent? While the guy is using the number, he's using them, he's capitalizing on the number. Now, the most important thing that people need to understand when it comes to prosperity, I love what Muruti Muraka was saying. I always say that when a church does not impact the community, when the church doesn't impact the community, that church is useless, and that church is not prospering. It does not matter if the church, if people are coming with cars, it does not matter if you have a beautiful building in the city. But if the community is not affected for their good, or they don't become better,
yes.
If you don't impact them, you are not prosperous. You are not living the real and the true prosperity that the Lord wants. Because the beginning of everything is, I mean, you need to be generous to the people in which you, I mean, the people that you are living with. And today, it's so sad to see, and I've said it, and I'm going to say it again today, pastors, wherever we place our churches, we always do it not by purpose, but we do it by convenience. We go and look for a space, we find a bigger space, we build a church there. But 90% of the members of our churches are not from that vicinity. They're coming from somewhere else. And even you, the pastor, you don't live there. You come from somewhere else. And the question is, what is the community benefiting from that church? Almost nothing.
Yeah.
Because they don't recognize themselves. They don't identify themselves with the church. Sunday, they can see a lot of cars parked there. And if somebody passes by the place, you say, this church is prosperous because of the type of cars that are parked out there. When the service is over, all the cars disappear. They go. Because they don't belong to that community.
Mm.
You see, well, they don't belong from there, and they go.
Yeah.
It means that community, that church is not prosperous. It's just a waste of time
myth.
To be in that city. Yes. It's just, and then that is, for me, I said, any church, any pastor, any leader, any brother, any sister, if you cannot touch the people out there, as Muruti Mekka was saying, if you cannot touch people for Christ's sake, you are not really prosperous. You are wasting your time. And this is exactly what we see nowadays. churches that do not. For me, I would rather see a pastor walking to the church. Because when you walk to the church, you are identifying yourself, and the people in the community identify themselves with you. They can say, "Hello, Pastor. How are you, Pastor?" And it feels good because they know you and you know them. Mm. But if today you can ask the people from that community, "Do you know the pastor of that church?" So we don't know. We only see a car passing here with tinted glasses. Windows. We don't know the pastor of that church. We've never seen him. This is the kind of prosperity that we are portraying. If people look at us from the outside, we think that these people are prosperous, but from the inside, they are just rotten. Nothing good is inside. Outside, we can see, and the way they get the outside, they can use whatever means to get it. They can lie, they can manipulate, they can threaten people, they can do all kinds of things to get whatever they have. But in essence, life is not given. And I'm so sorry to say, you cannot be in the church day in, day out. You've been in the church for years. You've never done anything for the Father. You've never done anything for the Messiah. You are just this sitting, and every Sunday you must go to that church, and the pastor must stand there. He says, "Receive," and you receive. What are you receiving? We don't know what. But him is becoming whatever he's becoming, and he's calling himself that he's a prosperous pastor. No, he's not. He's just a crook, a thief, and whatever name we can give to him. And this is just so sad to see how children of God can be utilized, can be manipulated, can be used, can be abused while seated and claiming they are following the Father while they are not following him. And prosperity is something that people have used for their own advantage and not really for the Father's sake.
I hear you quite well. Thank you so much. Professor, send us your WhatsApp 0826572729. Let's hear what you say on this issue. We're touching base on the prosperity theology, what it is even all about. Because sometimes, you know, we have become those kinds of people who seem to be accepting what this is just like that without actually questioning the essence of what the scriptural basis of these things are even all about.
Live life with us. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Godfrey.
Good evening. Hey, Brother Ray.
Sure.
Sorry yesterday, but you'll understand. Okay. Hey, Budi Selapo. Umfundisi Mraka, ngibulise naku umfundisi uKabamba nabalaleli.
Thank you, man.
The prosperity, it's a doctrine of devils. Mm. It's not in the scripture. It's misunderstood deliberately, misinterpreted to catch and make gain out of the ignorant people. Or at times we say people are ignorant. Some of them, they go to these churches because they also want those riches. They know the truth. They just deliberately twist the scripture so that they can scam unsuspecting congregants. There's this notion, a misleader, I'm a believer. Abraham prospered, he got rich, he had animals, cattle, sheep, and all of that. Also, most of the, in the Old Testament, those who work for the Most High, Solomon was rich, David, they all. So they assume that the same thing is going to happen now. And then they deliberately mislead abandon, misinterpret the word prosper, prosperity. It prosper, or prosperity according to the scripture. It's about doing the commandments and the laws of the Most High. He told the Israelites, Deuteronomy 28, that you guys, if you do all the commandments that I command thee, then you always will prosper. If you keep the Most High's commandment and laws, if you don't, you'll become the tail, not the head. The same thing he told Joshua. you do whatever it's in this book of the law, and the ways will prosper. Not that you will be rich, but you will achieve what the Most High want him to achieve by keeping the commandments. And then if now, this day, people use prosperity, but the only person who prospers in the church is the leader, the pastor or the apostle or the bishop. The rest of the people do not prosper. They become poor because they take their hard-earned cash and give it to him. Mother's birthday goes to church. Father's birthday goes to church. Mother's Day go to church. Father's Day go to church. Christmas, they are there 3-4 times a day taking money. They hardly find time to spend with their children. So the only person who prospers, or pastor, his wife, his children. When he dies, the church, it inherited by his descendants, so on and so on. Those are the people who prosper. Here's a strange thing. Yeshua HaMashiach himself, when he passed away, he didn't leave a will. He didn't leave money. He didn't leave gold. Although he came from heaven, he created all these things. He didn't leave Peter with gold, silver, or diamonds, or anything. Instead, he gave them commandments to go and spread the gospel and to keep his commandments, which are going to make them prosper. He didn't leave a will. His will was that we need to spread the gospel. He didn't leave cash. He didn't own any assets. In fact, even when he died, he didn't have a funeral cover. A rich man, Joseph, came and buried him. He didn't. I don't know this money thing comes from. Because what is more than gold? What is more than silver? It's salvation. If you can understand how much it's incomparable with the prosperity that people seek. To be saved, Muna, not to go to the lake of fire, not to go to a total darkness without the presence of the Most High for eternity. I would choose salvation than prosperity, than money. That's more important. That should be what we strive for. Not to get gains for this world. And remember also, the Most High warned us that the love, what we were preaching about yesterday, the love of this world is enmity to him. So this world, the wealth, the riches, the material of this world, if you invest on them, the scripture warns, it says you are in enmity to him. Why? Because it says it is contrary to the laws of the Most High. So rich is anti, you become contrary to the laws. Prosper, you keep the laws. So the measure of, to tell if somebody is prospering or not, is his ability. He must demonstrate that he keeps the laws, the Ten Commandments and the rest of them. If he doesn't keep of them, he doesn't keep the Sabbath, he doesn't honor his parents, he doesn't honor the Most High, if he doesn't kill or steal, if he fails to do that, then he hasn't achieved the goal of prosperity. Because prosperity is about the laws and the commandments of the Most High. It's also about the commandments of Yeshua. Nothing else. It has nothing to do with money. Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate. Godfrey, may the Father do you good, sir.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012-334-1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Discover an abundance of life. 657 AM.
Dumsane, let me get to Tamsanqa Thandonyovan and then I'll come to you, Dumsane. Tamsanqa.
Hallelujah.
It's been a while.
I greet you all, saints, in Thank the you. Wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. So as we are Christians, we are not just physical beings, but we are soul, spirit as well. And our prosperity must emanate from the point of the spirit first, and then to the soul, and then manifest in the physical. And so, as the word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Our prosperity, Brother Ray, starts first in the spirit. First, a Christian or Christians must be obedient to God and our prosperity is also a component of, as Pastor Moraka said, of prospering the kingdom and the will of God. A person who's prosperous, or a Christian who's prosperous in God's eyes or in God's point of view, is one who is obedient to the Spirit of God, is one who is doing that which the Spirit is leading him to do. Whether that prosperity is manifested in physical accumulation or in whatever way, but as long as it is led by the Spirit of God for the advancing of the kingdom of God and for the will of God, then that person is prosperous. If we see the life of Jesus Christ, being born, performing the will of God, and eventually going to the cross, eventually going to the cross to die, in the eyes of the world, death is a failure, but to the eyes of the Lord, or in the point of view of God, Jesus had achieved the ultimate prosperity, completing the will of God in full perfection. Amen.
Wow, thank you so much, Tando. It's been a while, man. It's been a long while. Maybe just before we close a bit, let me see. Oh, Futumsan in there. Tumsan, let me start it just there. And I will play it also in the coming week when we speak about guidance. And if the Father leads us to speak about part two, I will.
On that note, what I want to say there is that, yes, like one pastor just said, in Christ, God has made you, salvation means prospering in every area of your life. So I know what sometimes other people start with the spiritual side, others start with the middle side, the soul side, others start with the body side to prosper before they realize others. But John here is saying to Gaius, prosper in all things, just as your soul prosper. So he was already prospering in the soul, probably he had little in the finances, for example. So John was praying for him would prosper also in finances, prosper in health, prosper in relationships, prosper in ministry, prosper in your work, prosper in your all areas of your life. So that's it. And then Pastor Ray, may I close by a prayer? Father God, I pray that prosperity, since it's a basic driving force of how you created our souls, this is important to everybody, because there's nothing painful like failure or not achieving. I pray today that may you reach each and every one of us at the point of weakness, at the point of ignorance, at the point of misdirection, at the point of need, that we may align with the Holy Spirit, who will give us a strategy or a way of how to prosper, not only just in a human way, but to prosper in a God way that will give God the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Ray. And on that note again, because sometimes if we prosper in our own ways, we may not necessarily give God the glory. So my,
I hear you quite well. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for the prayer, Timsani. Sorry for cutting you there. Time really has gone. I'm only left with 1 minute each for our guests. The closing remarks. Let me start with you, Mruti Mraka.
Yes, in closing, my brother, I really hope we will have a part two, because there's a lot still to say concerning prosperity, the wrong one and the right one.
Yeah.
But anyway, in closing, I would go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where Paul says, I have struggled the noble struggle. I have completed the race. I have kept the faith. This verse is not for funerals. This is a verse which indicates prosperity. Because that which had been committed to me, I have carried. And we know when we listen to him, it was by grace that he achieved these things. So prosperity is not taking the grace of God pointlessly.
I hear you quite well. In God We Trust, Ntombi Kubega says, greetings, family. Thank you so much for coming back. Missed you all. Glory be to God. That's what Ntombi writes there. Pastor Sam, finally, what say you, sir?
Yeah, I would say that thank you very much, first of all, for the question and also for the time we spent together. Truly, we need to be very careful when the way we define prosperity out there, because everything has everything to do with the master himself. He is, when he is happy with whatever is happening, he gives what is deserved, not he gives what he feels that we can go with, not something that we have to create for ourselves and end up by being cooks and manipulators for just for nothing. It is very important that you stick to the calling and you stick to whatever the master or the father gives to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate. May the father be glorified. Yes, as he guides us, we will do part two. As he guides us, we will do part two. But next week, we are talking about divine guidance. What is divine guidance even all about? It falls in track with this one, you'd see. What is divine guidance all about? We'll be touching that next week. Muruti Mraka, thank you so much. Pasa regards at home, sir.
Yes, thank you, sir. And they are returning the regards as well. And please do the same, Pastor Kabamba, the same as well.
Thank you so
much.
And Pastor Sam, thank you so much. Pastor regards at home, sir.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. I'll greet everyone at home, and you do the same. Muruti Muraka, greetings to your family as well.
Thank you so much, and good night to both of you. And of course, thank you for calling in. Thank you for the WhatsApps. Thank you for listening through to the King. Above all else, we give him glory, majesty, and honor. It is him who is guiding us by his Holy Spirit, the only true potentate. And we say good night and Tuda Rabah.
As easy as the touch of a button. The Message of Life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life. A winning team on the road to eternity.